unusual couple, you know?
Oh, I don't think that was ever in question.
Hello and welcome to the Infinity Saga and Beyond and our WandaVision recaps. I am Jordan Wiegand and I have Casey McGeorge with me today.
How is it going, everybody?
It's going good. That's right, everybody. We are breaking down the final episode of WandaVision. Our 8-week journey, 9-episode journey is now complete. And the episode is just titled The Series Finale. Written by Jack Schaefer, directed by Matt Shakman, premiering March 5th, 2021, with the score by Christoph Beck. Synopsis, this is... I don't know if you've read the official synopsis.
I think I looked at it real quick, but...
I literally just read it to type it in here, and it's hysterical. Here it is. The events of WandaVision come to a head, and the destinies of all who took part are determined. It's like, no way were they going to give spoilers away in that synopsis.
Nope, none.
So what was your initial thoughts here, Casey?
So first off, any and every theory I had during this entire show was wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
Pretty much the same.
Wrong.
For me.
just completely wrong. But I figured that. But hey, I accept it. I thought the finale was great. For the people who wanted action, who were upset there wasn't any action throughout the first 8 episodes, they got that in this episode. It left me wanting more. And I have some hopes and wishes of where I would like to see it go, or what else I would like to see after. And then there was confusion on where it led to. But... I was satisfied. I was a little heartbroken at points, but I thought it was good overall.
I agree. Okay. Reddit and Twitter are just awful places. I'll just say that. Because I actually saw a lot of hate towards this episode. And I don't understand why. I saw a lot of people saying that there was unanswered questions still. And when we get through all this stuff, I'll point out all the answers that I thought we were never going to get answers to. Of course, not everything is resolved, right? Because there, some of it is going to lead into Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. So we already know that. They've announced that. But the main part of WandaVision is wrapped up, right? The part of Westview is wrapped up. Agatha's part is wrapped up. I also saw people complain that it devolved into a CGI battle at the end. These are superheroes. I don't know what else you thought was going to happen. And actually, I have some stuff to refute that as well as we get into it. But I really liked it. And I heard the hate before I started it. So maybe the whole time I was watching it, I was like, okay, something's going to happen here that really upsets everybody. But nope. Not for me anyway. I really liked it. And... I just watched it, you know, watching it again the second time, I reaffirmed that, you know, I really did like this episode. Not the strongest episode, I don't think, of the show, but for me, it wrapped everything up. And I think I spoke last week that there were like 3 things that I wanted wrapped up. And it was like Agatha, White Vision, and the whole Westview stuff. And all 3 of those were wrapped up. For me, I was kind of already lowering my expectations. I don't know if you heard this whole story about Paul Bettany saying that there was a cameo in there of an actor he's wanted to work with his whole life. And he realizes now that he should not have said that because he was joking about it on Good Morning America. But he was referring to himself. He was making a joke of referring to himself and him, you know, acting alongside himself in as both Vision and White Vision. In the credits, they are Vision and The Vision. And it was a really good joke, I thought. Now, of course, the fan bases and everybody with social media and stuff takes these things 100% at face value and just runs with it.
We were throwing out random people and
people are still like really upset at him and you know stuff like that. So it's just get over it, people. He was making a joke and I'm all good with theorizing. We were theorizing this whole time, but I don't really get upset when my theories are not true. It's just, you know, it's a shot in the dark sometimes. And some people, as we'll get into, I'll tell some of the complaints people had here. I'll just get into one of them now. People were upset that Senior Scratchy the bunny was just a bunny. And I said, in my head, I didn't respond to this. I was just like, did they ever make you think it wasn't a bunny? I mean, really, like, it's in the second episode as a bunny. The boys are petting the rabbit, so obviously it's not one of the boys. And then she's just petting the rabbit when she's talking to Wanda. That's literally as much as we see Senior Scratchy. And witches have animals in all of popular media. So I really think that just fits with Agatha's character. And I don't think that there was any need to have Senior Scratchy be like a human trapped in a rabbit form or anything.
I think maybe it's just because it's Marvel and they tend to do all kind of stuff that's out there. And there's always misdirections and there's always a chance that there's something right in front of you you don't know. But
I could see that. You know, and I was just talking to my wife about this too, because I was like, you know what I think is bothering a lot of people probably is that this is really the first Marvel MCU product that we are seeing weekly where the whole story is not told, you know, since this is the first TV show. Usually you go to a movie, you might speculate before the movie, but once you start that movie, it's over in like 2.5 hours and you're walking out. In this case, we had like between 30 to 50 minutes a week where then people would speculate and then, you know, get attached to their theories and then it would kind of drop off for them, I guess. You know, usually you're just kind of going into the movie. You've seen some trailers, but you can't like pause the movie when you're in the theater and be like, I think this is what's going to happen. You might think of it quickly, but then the next information's coming at you. So you just have to take it, you know, and maybe that's what part of it is. But I don't think the show built up some of these things that people have complained about. So for me, maybe some of the actors were building things up. You know, we talked about Paul Bettany. Apparently, you know, Tiana Paris said before that the aerospace engineer would be mind blowing. It was just a woman in the military that gave her the stuff, right? Like there was nothing there, but people were then speculating on that. And I don't think that's the show's fault, really. I feel like it's like the actors or just the fans themselves, like trying to think of cool to everybody thinking it was Reed Richards from, you know, Fantastic Four and stuff. But anyway, let's get into the actual plot. So this episode picks up like right where we left off. Agatha has the boys by the neck with her magic ropes, and Wanda's confronting her, and Agatha mentions what she really wants, right? She wants to absorb her powers. And we could kind of get that sense from last week because that's what Agatha did to the witches in the Salem scene. She was absorbing their powers. And also the fact that as she kept asking Wanda how she, you know, learned her powers and, you know, if she was a natural, she, you know, obviously at that point when she figures out, like, what Wanda is, the Scarlet Witch and everything, she would obviously want that power because she wants to probably be the most powerful witch in the world.
I enjoyed when these two started going at it here, right? As we talked about last week how Agatha was starting to like absorb powers, or like she was taking the powers from the other people, the other witches that were there. But I never really, I don't know, I figured she was going to try and get Wanda's powers, but I didn't think it was going to cause like the decay of Wanda like it did.
See, I thought it would because it was very similar to, you know, that scene with her mother and stuff. I didn't think about it as much when it was happening at first, like with where her hands were turning kind of like lifeless. But when we get near the end and she's like really absorbing her and she started kind of looking like those other witches in the Salem scene, I was like, oh, so that's what she was doing to them. Like, it wasn't just that she was absorbing their life, but she was absorbing their powers as well. Which makes sense now why Agatha is so powerful, I guess. So, you know, she tells Tommy and Billy when she's able to break them free to get to their room and, you know, they want to help, but Agatha says, you know, listen to your mother because she's, you know, they're going to battle. They're going to throw down here. And Tommy uses his speed to grab his brother Billy and they go inside. And then this is when we get Wanda just absolutely smashing Agatha with a car.
And I like the kind of little Wizard of Oz bit there from that.
Yes, with the boots underneath of the car when it breaks into the house. Yes, it was a nice little reference to Wizard of Oz.
I thought maybe we would see something maybe a little more similar, like maybe, you know, not along with that, like maybe we'd see like her body shriveled up like in the Wizard of Oz, but we didn't. And that's fine. But I still got like the Wizard of Oz vibes from that.
Yes. Yeah. It was probably definitely an Easter egg in the, by the show. I'm not sure if Agatha was intending for it. That would be funny if she was though. Cause you know, they've been referencing TV shows this whole time. And then to reference a movie like that. And then this is when we get, right after that, we get the Vision, or White Vision, whatever you want to call him, coming in and you know, he touches her face kind of like softly, or Wanda thinks so anyway, and then he starts trying to like, you know, smash her skull in, and then this is when we get then the fake Vision, or I don't know how you want to differentiate these. Our Vision that we've known.
it sounds weird. I like going by White Vision.
So we get Green Vision coming in here and saving Wanda.
And then I like his comment of, they told me you were powerful.
Yes. He's kind of like taunting her. It was really nice comment there. Especially, it's got to really sting for her because, you know, this is the original Vision. This is the actual guy that she fell in love with, devoid of all of his emotions. But this is the body. You know, this is the one that she knew, you know, before they kind of like reprogrammed him. So it's probably got to be even more painful, you know, when you have somebody you love doing that to you. Then, you know, like Vision saves Wanda. He smashes White Vision into an RV that blows up. And this is where we get Wanda's line of, Vision, this is our home. And he's like, then we're going to, you know, defend it or save it, whatever he says. And then we get Agatha appearing at the top of the house there, and we get White Vision coming back at Green Vision, and that, you know, they kind of go their separate ways here to kind of battle this out. Here Agatha goes into Town Square, and you know, the two Visions start fighting, and we see Monica, who's in Agatha's house in the attic, stuck with Pietro. But before we talk about that real quick, I actually really liked Agatha's line of, your ex and your boyfriend together at the same party.
Which one will you choose?
Yes. But we get Agatha's house with Pietro up there. And let's just talk about this whole thing, I guess, with Pietro, whatever you want to call him. Because now we know who he really is. And I liked this. I never thought we were going to get an answer on who's Ralph. And it just, here it is. He's Ralph. He's the Ralph that was always mentioned as Agnes's husband. He's, you know, the original homeowner, I guess, in this town before Agnes snuck in there and took it over. And not only do we get an answer on who fake Pietro is, it actually answers also Ralph. And this is what upset a lot of people, because they're really upset it wasn't actually the X-Men Pietro. And I'm very glad it wasn't, because I think that would just be a mess. That would just be a mess continuity-wise. And for people that, have no idea who X-Men, the X-Men films. And not all of those movies were great. So I don't really want to bring in all of those movies as like some sort of semi-continuity with the MCU, because not all of them were great. I'm fine that this is just an actor. You know, he had headshots, you know, stuff like that, that is named Ralph, and it answers Ralph. It answers fake Pietro. For me, this was satisfying.
So when the name came up, people, I saw afterwards that people were making something about the name. So I wasn't sure if that name had any meaning to it.
Right, Boner, Ralph Boner.
Yeah. So that, I was kind of like, okay, am I missing something with this name? Is this a comic thing I don't know about? Dang it, I'm going to have to ask Jordan about this name tomorrow. Like, what's going on? Apparently there was nothing. It was just was what it was. He's just a stoner dude who lived in a town. I don't know. The fact that they still got the actor who played the other Quicksilver to play this dude, maybe Marvel's just trolling us? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it, I think what it was is...
Maybe okay. There's more to it we don't know, because they Marvel's always playing the long game with everything.
I read an explanation that I think helps with this, right? If it was any other actor, we would have known that was not really Pietro, right? But Wanda was still confused about it. So we would have been like, Wanda, you're an idiot. That's not actually Pietro. But when they cast Evan Peters as Pietro, and this tying into Multiverse of Madness, and they know that they've told us that, I think the idea was to make us think this could be actually Pietro, right? This could be Pietro, and now we're kind of as confused as Wanda is, you know? And then it's revealed, okay, that's not actually what happened. But I think it works because there's no other way in the other episodes that we would have thought, oh, this is actually Pietro. But since some fans kind of already know that he was, we kind of buy into it. The casual audience just buys into it because of Darcy's, oh, they recast Pietro line. So I think it works on those levels. But I can see why people would be like, thinking, I understand why people might be upset, but for me, I'm just very relieved that it is not that, because I just don't want those movies to be part of this, because they weren't that great, except for like Days of Futures Past.
Now, I'm not upset.
No, I understand.
So like for me, I'm not upset about it. Like, I just wasn't sure. Like I said, I still think there may be something to it, because we know at some point that they have the X-Men now and they're able to do some other things. At some point, they may bring them in, and especially by introducing him, even though it's not him, it gives them some wiggle room and creativity down the road of different things they can do, especially with her. So I don't know. I'm just, like I said, I wasn't disappointed that it was just some random dude. I was just like, okay, well, that was what it was. I was hoping for more there, but, and especially the stoner dude part. But I did like that Monica started showing more of her powers here.
Yes, I really liked when she eventually sees it's the necklace, because she's able to like see the energy coming from it. With her powers? Yes, that was cool.
And then, you know, basically she was able to, like, not kind of knock him out of his trance or whatever, you know, was going on there. So that was, for me, that was seeing Monica start coming into her own a little bit was probably the most fulfilling portion of that.
Definitely. Just two very short scenes, really, in the attic. You know, he does ask if she's a Steven Seagal fan, right?
Look, if it's late 80s, early 90s Seagal, sure. current new fat sheriff wannabe Seagal? Not really. And I say this with all due respect as a fat man myself. Like, so I'm not like fat hating here, but the new Steven Seagal, not so much.
I was not a big Steven Seagal guy in any of his movies. I don't know if I've really seen that many of him, but I'm not a big Seagal fan. I actually always confuse him with Stallone, too, for whatever reason. And maybe it's the SS, you know, like Steven Seagal, Sylvester Stallone. Anyway, then we get Jimmy Woo captured. Hayward is kind of like taunting him a bit. Saying there's no footage of the two visions because Wanda canceled her show, kind of a reference to the fact that it's not on TV, I guess. And says that Jimmy could have been a part of this if he had just had some more vision. But Jimmy grabs a phone here and is able to kind of sneak away. He also says people are going to be coming within the hour from the FBI.
So... I love Adrian Woo. I'm definitely gonna have to see some more of him. That's one of the sad things about the series ending is I don't have any more Woo or any more Darcy. And like I said before, if they made them like the new Mulder and Scully and did X-Files thing, I'd love it. I was a little confused by the phone thing because I don't know if that was his phone, if that was just someone else's phone. I saw the phone was ringing when he picked it up. So I was thinking maybe he answered it and then kind of let what's his name kind of do his villain tell all over the phone that someone would hear. And then come to find out they really didn't do anything with the phone until he got his handcuffs off. And then he was able to call up one of his FBI buddies and said, hey, can you be here in about an hour? So he was bluffing. Which, hey, I'm not knocking a bluff, don't get me wrong. But I don't know if the phone confused me for a few minutes, and I just wasn't sure what the purpose of it was.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be, like, recording him, or, like, he had dialed something, and now everybody was hearing what he was saying. But
yeah, I was thinking maybe that's how the FBI was going to be there within the hour. And then when he just called up his buddy and was like, oh, hey, any chance you can make it? I was like, oh, man, we got God again.
Yeah, I thought it was funny though, just the way he was like, yeah, like any chance you can get here, you know, like within the hour. Because I don't think he was really bluffing. I guess he was bluffing in the sense that he hadn't called yet, but like he actually had a way to bring him there, right? Like it wasn't just like, I think Hayward thought it was a bluff in the sense of like nobody at all was going to be coming. But, you know, he was able to make the call. I also liked when he took off the handcuffs, he said flourish. You know, that was a reference to episode 2. Whenever Wanda and Vision would do their magic tricks, they would say flourish. So it's almost like he's referencing a pop culture TV show, but he's actually just referencing WandaVision that he had to watch this whole time.
So does he know a lot of magic tricks? Does he just know a few magic tricks?
I guess just the card trick. The other thing was just like, I guess he had a lock pick for the, or some sort of something to pick the
like lock a paper clip or something. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So then, we get, you know, back to the town square where we have Agatha facing off against Wanda, and Agatha chooses a different approach, right? I really liked her approach here of waking up the townspeople to show Wanda what she's been doing to them. Wanda's kind of been in denial about how everybody should just be completely 100% fine with what's going on because she's made their lives better. You know, we heard this in the other, one of the episodes before where it was like, you know, everybody's jobs are better. Everybody's pay is better. Everybody's always happy. But we get Dottie waking up here, and she's just a regular person named Sarah, and she comes over and she's pleading to have her daughter become friends with her boys, so that way she gets like a storyline, so that way she can leave her room, because we kind of already established that when there's no kids in Westview, they're just kind of like on like a on like a sleep mode, you know, like in the house. And she just wants her daughter to be able to do something and get out of the house. So she's like pitching this like story idea to Wanda.
Yeah. So not, I wasn't disappointed, but that was one of my thoughts that was just way off base, because I thought Dottie was going to be someone else. And I thought Dottie,
yeah, a lot of people thought she was going to be like another witch or something,
or Mephisto, and right. That was not the case at all.
We get you know, a few of the townspeople. Then we get like Norm and Herb, you know, and all these Mrs. Hart, you know, waking up. Agatha mentions the Darkhold. So this is something we'll talk about a little bit later, but it is a book, very famous book in Marvel Comics. It was also on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is loosely part of the MCU. It was originally part of the MCU, and then when Kevin Feige was able to break away from Ike Perlmutter and move Marvel Studios away from the TV division, it kind of lost all connection with it. So I'm not really counting it as part of the continuity, because the book even looks different than it does in the show. But, you know, Agatha mentions that her power exceeds, talking about Wanda, the Sorcerer Supreme, so that's Doctor Strange, and that, you know, that she was not somebody, you know, like, it's kind of like almost like a prophecy, right? The Scarlet Witch would not learn the power, just kind of come natural, right? Like, she wouldn't have to like really work for it. And when all these people are kind of like begging Wanda to free them, you know, she kind of asks Wanda, does this sound like what a hero does, or, you know, like, or does this sound like what heroes do? And it was a good point. I mean Agatha's clearly going to do some bad stuff anyway. She wants to probably take over part of the world. She says, you know, I'll leave this little corner of the world to you. But what I found interesting too was Norm saying that when they sleep, they have her nightmares, like they're having the same nightmares that Wanda would have.
Yeah, when these townspeople started gathering, or when the angry mob started gathering around Wanda, I really started getting like the Salem witch vibes there. All they were missing was like pitchforks and torches. And I was really interested when he started bringing up the nightmares, because I don't know if Wanda's currently having nightmares. These are nightmares she's had before. But I would be interested in knowing more about these nightmares here.
Definitely. That'd be, yeah, I would love to get some more info on that. Wanda starts choking everybody by accident. You know, she just kind of lets out this scream, and her powers just kind of start choking everybody, and she realizes that, and she immediately, you know, tries to fix it, and gets, you know, the necks loosened again. And we get the line from Mrs. Hart of, if you're not going to let us go, like, at least let us die. Right? So,
yeah. Like, so nobody's having a good time. Misery quick. Yeah. Yeah. Don't torture, and then what, you know, Agatha brings up, basically she's torturing these people.
Yes.
You know, she's sitting there, Wanda just thinks she's doing these people a great favor and they're living these great lives. But when she starts realizing the pain she's caused them, she starts realizing that these people are being tortured every day. And any, like, she has the power and ability to start pretty much having her way with these people. You can tell it starts affecting her. She starts realizing the entire hold that she has on everything here.
And Vision tried to tell her about this too. Remember, like, when Vision woke up Norm and Norm said how much pain he's in, you know, in like the 80s episode, and Vision comes home and he's like, Wanda, these people are in pain. I don't think Wanda could really tell that, and when she heard that, I think she wanted to deny it, and even here she was trying to deny it and, you know, be in denial of, no, your life's great. And she's being now confronted with this, especially once she says, you know, like, if you're not gonna let us leave, then at least let us die. It's really hitting her that these people would rather be dead than just be like on this autopilot. You know, Herb
part of your show.
Yeah, Herb even says like something about like the mirror, right? Like, but before when I looked in the mirror, I didn't like recognize myself or whatever. And you know, it's almost like they, you know, because she's in their heads and everything. It's just so much pain because they're being like suppressed. You know, they're being suppressed. They understand what's going on because obviously they do, because you know, Dottie or Sarah comes over and says, "Hey, put my daughter in your storyline." Like, they know stuff is going on, and it's just hurting them that they can't even like do, like, they have no free will.
So you know what this kind of reminds me of? Have you seen Get Out?
I have not. No.
Ah, see, I don't want to spoil it for you then.
I think I've been spoiled on it.
Okay. Maybe. So the movie's a couple years old. Spoiler alert for anybody who has not watched it. Skip ahead a minute or two. Okay. Jordan Peele's Get Out. At one point, the main character finds out that his girlfriend's parents, his girlfriend's dad is like a surgeon, and he's able to transplant. How do I explain? He's able to transplant someone's like consciousness and body into, he's using it to take these older white people's consciousness and body and put it in these black people's bodies, right? But the thing is, they're still inside. So they don't have any control. The black people in the bodies don't have any control of what's going on, but they can still see. They know what's going on. They just can't control anything, and they can see what is happening. So, and basically they end up being hypnotized, and it's called the sunken place. So it's like, it basically is like you're watching TV and you're seeing what's going on, but you just can't control the person. And that's kind of the gist I got here of what it must be like for these people to go through. They're inside their own bodies. They see these interactions that they're having. They see these emotions are going through. They see everything that's going on. And deep inside, they're probably screaming and trying to do everything they can to get out, but they can't. And
yeah, just, so I can kind of see how that would relate.
And just how painful and torturous that has to be. Like, and especially when they say, okay, it's one thing for them, but now at least like Dottie, you know, like you brought up Dottie, she brings up her daughter. At least, you know, I can't salvage myself, but at least maybe my daughter can have a business storyline where she can, like you said, get out of the room and interact instead of just being stuck there. And then, you know, what's his name? The lady from That 70s Show, she brought up, will just at least kill us. And to be, how bad must it be for you to be willing to say, you know what? I can't do this anymore. At least kill me and make it quick so this can be over with.
So, you know, this is where we get Monica realizing the necklace is how Agatha has control of Ralph. Billy starts seeing visions of Wanda needing help, and him and Tommy go towards that way. And then Wanda starts bringing the barrier down. She realizes that she's going to let these people go. So she's, you know, telling them to run, and she's going to open up the barrier. And as she's doing this, as Vision is fighting with White Vision, Vision starts losing power because, you know, he can only survive in the Hex, and the Hex is starting to fall apart, and he starts falling down to the ground. And then you see Billy and Tommy stop speed running, and they're starting to break apart. And Hayward sees the hole, and he's like, all right, it's time to go in.
And then this is an interesting conundrum for Wanda, because Agnes brings it up. So what do you do? Do you keep your family and continue to torture this town? Or do you let these people go and do you let these people go and lose your family? It's kind of a version of the trolley problem that was brought up during The Good Place.
Yes.
Um, just a lot more personal because it's not just random people. Now it's people you know. So now you have a choice of the trolley is going down. Do you send a trolley over your family, three members of your family, to spare hundreds of people? Or do you allow the trolley to run over the hundreds of people to keep your family alive?
And what makes it worse is that Wanda has lost everybody she's loved already, right? She's lost her parents. She's lost Vision originally. She lost her brother. She brings Vision back in this way. She now has kids. And now she has to lose them again. Or she has to have that thought of... This is where, like, I heard somebody say Wanda had no character growth in this episode. And I think that's totally wrong. As we'll get to in the final battle. But also just the fact that she does eventually give up this family, which is her whole arc of the show, right? She started this because she couldn't handle the loss and comes to the point where she realizes that she was wrong and that she has to let these people go and that it's going to be at the expense of her family.
Like, and like her Monica, happiness. Like Monica tells her in the very end, I know we're skipping ahead a little bit, but like Monica tells her, the people of this town will never know what you gave up.
Right. So Wanda sees this. She brings the barrier back up for a bit. And we get the cool hero pose of the family all together. It was really great. We get kind of like the Avengers heroic type theme. And, you know, Wanda starts to attack Agatha. We get Vision fighting Vision. And we get... Wanda's badass line of, you know, like, boys, like, take the military, you know, which I thought was awesome. And the boys, you know, you have Tommy speed running, take all their guns. You have Monica come in and save the day when Hayward just decides to become a brutal murderer. And just... in his defense, I guess, he doesn't think these people are real because they can't exist outside of there. But he just grabs a gun, pretty much says, I'll do it myself, and starts firing at the kids. And Monica comes in and uses her powers, and you know, the bullets go through her. And Billy catches the one that doesn't with his magic. And then we get Darcy, you know, like, ramming him with the funnel cake truck, which... I totally forgot that that would have been something that was not a funnel cake truck. I was like, this funnel cake truck just took out a military vehicle. But when it changes back at the end, I was like, oh, that makes sense because of the, you know, the hex making it look like something that fits in. It was like another military vehicle.
Okay. But in all fairness, and this is knowledge I have that most people don't. Yeah. Humvees aren't really that. I mean, it's kind of like just aluminum and like sheet metal. So like that funnel cake truck definitely... Unless it's like an up armored, like one of the heavier Humvees that they use in a combat situation, those look like just regular standard ones. So yeah, that funnel cake truck running into it can definitely cause that much damage on one of those.
Okay.
And I completely forgot about Darcy. Like once the last after Vision flew away from her a couple episodes ago, I completely forgot that Darcy was even in the series. I thought that was the last I was going to see of Darcy, and that was it.
Yeah, she finally got through all the red lights and construction work. And she got there right in time. Darcy, we also see the FBI appear at the sword tents at this point as well.
Yeah, and so they eventually start going through collecting all the evidence. So they start going through collecting all the computers and all that other stuff, and...
What do you think? What do you think they get Hayward on here? Because some people are like, "What's he arrested for?" I'm assuming it has to do something with. He had to break it some laws with maybe Vision's body and maybe even like I'm not really sure. I understand like for at the outside, people would say, "Well, he was just trying to save everything," but he was really really targeting. Killing Wanda, so maybe attempted murder or
maybe treason.
Yeah, it could be anything, I guess.
Yeah, and especially you never know with what kind of laws were put into place because of the Sokovia Accords and then what kind of laws were put in place because of the snap, and then what other laws might have been put in place because of the blip, when everyone was blipped back, and all of a sudden...
You know, he could have broken the Sokovia Accords with Vision, right? Because they mention... There you go. They mention that bringing Vision... This is for all the people complaining about this. In episode 4, when we see the fake security footage, or the real security footage that's cut to make it look like Wanda took the body, says that it's against Vision's will to bring him back to life, but Jimmy says it would also be against the Sokovia Accords. So maybe he broke some of these Sokovia Accords bringing in White Vision.
You know, so, but like I said, between the Sokovia Accords and the snap and the blip and all these other things that may have happened, and laws and agreements that have been struck up, and new organizations that have come up, and who knows where they fall. And I'm sure there were many, many, many laws that were broken. And that's kind of, that'd be one of those kind of things where, like, he might be put into, like, some sort of super villain, super max prison. He wouldn't just be put in, like, Sing Sing. To me, and I'm probably way wrong, that's the kind of thing that turns Hayward into some sort of super villain down the road. Because he has the drive and he was stopped from doing everything he wanted to, but I don't know. But yeah, he broke many laws and treaties and various other things.
We have Vision asking about the ship of Theseus. So this is where I was going to bring up people saying, well, it just devolved into a CGI battle at the end. Vision actually talks his way out of this. This is not a fight at the end. Like, they do a little skirmish. Then they get into, like, the library type looking thing. I guess it was the library. You know, he asks, you know, he's like, why are you even doing this? And White Vision says, I'm to kill the Vision. And this is where he's pretty much saying, like, I'm not really Vision, you are, you know? And, he uses this metaphor of the ship of Theseus and, you know, like, if they replace the wood or refurbish the wood, is it the ship of Theseus?
So, yeah, so I can break that down for anybody who might have been confused. All right, let's take old Ironsides. So I think it's a Civil War ship that's in Boston Harbor, right? You have the ship. The ship's hundreds of years old. The ship gets old. And wood starts to rot and the sails start to go and the ropes on the sails start to go. If you want to keep it up and running, you have to start replacing it. And eventually it starts with maybe a plank of wood here, a couple pieces of rope here, this, that, the other thing. Eventually over time, more and more of it gets replaced. And eventually enough time will pass that everything on that ship will be replaced. So it's a paradox that people have talked about for many different things. Is it still the same ship as... Is it still old Ironsides? If after 200 years, everything on this ship is replaced, all the wood, all the nails, the masts, the sails, the rope, the captain's wheel, if everything is replaced, is it still the same ship as it was before? Or is it a new ship? And therein lies the paradox. And then that kind of, like, as he was explaining this to him, and, like, it kind of stopped me, and I was like, I wanted more of a fight, but he kind of got me there. Like, is one really Vision? Which one is Vision? Are they both Vision? I don't know.
White Vision tries to flip this on Vision by saying, well, you thought you were Vision, right? And he's like, well, yeah, until I met you, right? Now I realize I'm not the actual body of Vision. Like, I am made up of something else, which we'll get to. But yeah, I liked this. I really liked, you know, he flies off. White Vision flies off. He says, I am Vision, and he takes off. And I'm assuming we will see him again at some point in an Avengers film or one of these films, but he's probably on a path of self-discovery right now. You know, Vision wakes up his real memories because they're still buried in the android. And he may not have the emotions right now. Maybe he'll learn them again after having time with these memories. But he now knows everything that's happened. He's pretty much our Vision again. He even see kind of like his eyes change, and a little spot where the Mind Stone would be kind of changes as well. So I do think that means, thankfully, we will have Paul Bettany in the MCU going forward.
Yeah, so I think I saw something where he said he's not against continuing to portray Vision. Obviously, he knows more about his contract status than the rest of us. So Marvel's very secretive anyway. So even if he's contracted for like 3 more movies, unless someone can find a way to finagle that information, we're not going to find out till we see him, right? This was maybe the only part where I wasn't totally satisfied. And that was simply because White Vision just flew off, and that was the last we seen him. So,
yeah, I thought maybe he'd help, but
I was expecting maybe is he gonna help with the cleanup? Is like you brought up before last week? I think are they gonna merge into one Vision? Are they still capable of tracking him? Like, I get he has the memories and stuff, but he literally just flew off and disappeared, and that was it. No more Vision for the rest of the episode, which, not a horrible thing, but that was the one part I was really kind of unfulfilled on. Like, at least give me something going further, you know? You don't have to tell me exactly what's going to happen, but give me a tease or something, you know?
I thought maybe, like, at first, I was more happy with it the second time because I was actually like, okay, you know what? It's actually good to get that Vision out of the way because I really want the focus to be on this Vision, the kids, and Wanda for this episode. And you know what? And we'll probably get that White Vision another time. The first time, yeah, I was expecting him to come up in one of the end credit scenes, but he didn't. So the second time watching it through, knowing what already happened, I was like, you know what? I actually really like that because I really just want to focus with the Vision we kind of knew these 9 episodes to really drive the emotional center of the show onward. So then we get kind of like, so White Vision, Vision, that's done. We finished kind of the Hayward plot. So really we're going to get into the Wanda Agatha stuff here. So Wanda uses her old Age of Ultron trick where she, you know, gets into somebody's mind and kind of shows their fears. And it's the 1693 Salem scene where the witches are, where they're, you know, like,
their life is sucked out.
They're lifeless. And they wake up and you know, like, well, at first, Agatha, I think, is kind of playing it up that she's kind of scared by this. But really, she kind of flips this around on Wanda and has, you know, those start coming at her then, the lifeless witches kind of all drained of life snap back and start saying, "You're the Scarlet Witch," and kind of like chasing her a bit. So Wanda handles it though, and you know, they break out of it. We're back in Westview. We also hear Agatha say, you know, like, "Give me your power and I will fix the cracks in your spell."
Before we go there, I absolutely loved when Wanda snuck up on her because I didn't see it coming. Like, you know, Agatha's on top of the building. She's looking around and Wanda popped up behind her and kind of, you know, did her little head thing. And I was like, oh, that is great. I really love that. And then when she turned it back on her, I was like, the people who are making this are great because they keep giving me the okie doke on just about everything here. I was kind of surprised that it actually worked on Agatha in the first place, though.
I think it was just a sneak attack. I really don't think she was that scared by it. I don't think. I think it was just kind of like the sneak attack of, you know, like it popping up behind her and her kind of like making her see that, but I think she flipped it around pretty quick where she wasn't that affected by it. You know, like, this is the stuff that made people kind of go crazy in Age of Ultron, and Agatha, I feel like, really just kind of shrugs it off. But yeah, so she says, "Give me your power and I'll fix the cracks in the original spell," right? So trying to plead with Wanda a bit of, you give me this, I'll fix this for you. You can live here. You can have what you want. Wanda at this point pretty much knows she can't do that because of the mental torture it's putting on people. Wanda breaks out of that, you know, Salem scene. She tells Agatha to take the power. She's like throwing all this, you know, magic at her, sometimes hitting her, sometimes not. And, you know, Agatha seems to have her kind of defeated, right? Like, Wanda looks pretty lifeless. She's looking like Agatha's mom and all the other witches. And then Agatha tries to cast magic and it doesn't work. And what we see is that Wanda was purposely missing at times to cast these runes that were from the last episode. Meaning that anybody in the Hex that's a witch could not use powers except for Wanda. So, very clever. And this is where, again, she outsmarts her. She has shown growth in this respect. She learned something. And she even, you know, sarcastically or, you know, kind of sassily tells Agatha, you know, like, thanks for the tip, you know.
I did not see this coming, and I can't believe I didn't see it coming. Usually with movies and TV shows, when they typically give out like that information of, you know, basically the villain will give the hero the information they need that comes back to bite them in the behind later with the runes. And I just didn't see it coming that last episode. And then when Wanda's sitting there firing her little shots off at her, I legitimately thought Agatha was just moving out the way and she was missing. And I watched and I was like, they got me again. These people are too good.
Yeah. And, we really should have known because the previously on WandaVision even mentions, I don't know if you watched those, but I did, but it says, you know, like it shows that clip again of only the witch who casts the runes can do the magic, you know? But I didn't realize it until you see the marks in the sky. And I was like, ah, she was doing the runes the whole time. That's so awesome. Wanda becomes the Scarlet Witch. We get her in her full getup. And it looks fantastic. And we kind of see that same shot that she saw in the Mind Stone when she was getting experimented on by Hydra. Where it shows, you know, except for it not being like a yellowish gold light behind her, it was a red one, but it was almost the same exact shot, same exact special effect of seeing the silhouette of the Scarlet Witch. And you know, Wanda decides to give Agatha the nosy neighbor role again, and then she takes down the Hex and she leads the boys in Vision back home and puts the boys to bed as the barriers are going down, so the boys are going to be erased here shortly. And
well, before that, she, you know, she turns Agatha's, you know, begging and pleading. She tells her, you know, you need me. You can't do this on your own. She tells her, well, I'll always know where to find you then, which leads me to believe maybe
they'll bring her back.
We'll be seeing her somewhere down the road. And then when she kind of just went back to that real neighbor from the 60s, I was kind of sad for a second because Catherine Hahn from the start has just been such a gem in this show. And seeing her as Agatha in her getup and the attitude she has, I want to see more. So like I said last week, I would love to see what she's been through in these last couple of hundred years. Like, I think that would be an interesting look. And because she's still, so correct me if I'm wrong, she's the only one still in this kind of daze in Westview right now, right?
Yes. So this is where I think people were confused as well, because they were like, well, why would they just leave Agatha there? She's clearly going to be able to get out of it. So when she puts the spell on, okay, so let's back it up a bit. It, when Agatha first gets to become Agnes, she's playing the role, right? She's not actually put to sleep or under this spell, because even Billy says, you know, you're quiet on the inside. We see her kind of faking it with Vision in the Agatha All Along song. So she was using her, like, she was never, I guess she used her magic when she entered into the hex, and she was unaffected because there was no runes set. Now Wanda had set the runes. So at that point, before she makes the spell to make her into Agnes again, Agatha has no protection, right? Like, she has no way to protect herself from having Wanda put her under this spell and get into her head. So I feel like that's why it works, is because the runes are cast, so she can't use a spell. She can't stop Wanda from doing this. And then when the runes, when the hex goes down and the runes are no longer there, she's still under the spell, and she doesn't realize that she's a witch because she had no protection to protect against it. And she's just going to kind of go on standby, being the nosy neighbor, and won't really know until Wanda has to go there for some reason and take the spell down.
But now here's the weird thing. All these other people in town know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Do you think they would want to live in Westview anymore anyway?
Whether they do or not, some of them might not be able to, simply because, like I said, that town didn't look like it was in great shape in the first place. So economically, they may not be able to move to a lot of different towns, right? Plus, they do kind of have lives set up and jobs and various other things. It's not hard to move. It's not easy to move sometimes. So, right. But like I said, so now everyone else in this town, they still have the memories of what happened. They know what happened. And this is where I think it could get more interesting, because they know who she really is. But she's stuck in this town as Agnes, who has no clue of what happened or who she really is.
Yeah.
So maybe someone, like, they could do so many different things. Like, someone could start messing around with witchcraft in the town themselves to try and break her out. I mean, there's just so much they could do with that, especially with trying to keep Agatha or Agnes around. I mean,
I'm assuming at some point, I don't know if it's going to be in Doctor Strange. That might work because of her being a witch. I think at some point Wanda's going to have to go back there and wake her up from it to help them with something.
Yeah, I don't think they would put that line, those lines out there, right, for no reason. I think that's a definite, which, you know, she said, you know, well, you'll need me. You can't do this. Well, I know where to find you. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, okay, somewhere down the road in phase 4 or 5, we will see her again.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I think it's interesting because I want to get your take on this too. You know, when she becomes the Scarlet Witch and pulled the whole runes thing, Agatha says, like, oh, you don't even know what you did. Like, you don't even know what you started or whatever. And it's like, what happened? You know, like, so Agatha thinks that Wanda did something that maybe set some sort of event in motion now that was bad.
That's what I was thinking, too, when she was saying that, was that caused something to go in motion that will reveal itself later, where it's going to cause her. And then when she said the line of, you need me, where I know where to find you, that's where and why she has to go back. Because remember, Agatha does have knowledge of these things. She's read the book. You know, she's lived for several hundred years. She knows, she has more knowledge of all these different things than Wanda does. Up until the end of this episode, Wanda has no knowledge of her power or anything. She's just kind of going with the flow. So maybe there's some sort of prophecy that because there was already the prophecy about the Scarlet Witch, that, you know, about her power and everything. So maybe there's more in there about a prophecy of what the Scarlet Witch will do and evil she'll have to confront or become and so on and so forth.
Maybe. Let's go ahead and talk about the end here. So we get like I said, the boys are put to bed. I guess they don't know they're about to die, because I don't think they would handle it that well. you know, they put them to bed. They say, I love you. Well, family is always going to be together, right? Wanda goes downstairs. Vision is, you know, she's turning off the lights, and Vision comes down, turns one on. I like his line, too. It's like something about... something about the dark, like you can't do something in the dark. I forget what the exact thing was. I don't have it written down, sadly. But and she's like, you didn't. He's like, I read that somewhere, and she's like, no, you didn't. But you know, he stays with her while the barrier's coming down, and they're talking, and he's, you know, saying he wants to know, one, what he was like, what actually is he, and two, you know, that they'll see each other again. You know, that they've said goodbye a few times. They're going to see each other again at some point. And I thought that was a really nice way to end that part of the story. And what Vision is, and I didn't think we'd get this answer at all. I just thought it'd be like, oh, she made him. But it makes sense. She got her powers enhanced by the Mind Stone. She used part of that Mind Stone that was within her to then make Vision, which she says it is like the, I don't have it written down here. It was like the Mind Stone that was in me is what you're made of, along with some other things. But it makes sense why he has the Mind Stone again when he's in the thing, and why he's able to use those powers is because she's using the parts that amplified her powers to kind of make life and give Vision that back. And I think that just works really well especially when you look at the end of Infinity War, and she's using her powers that amplified from the Mind Stone to destroy his Mind Stone, because of them being the same sort of power. And I think it makes sense that then she's able to kind of use that what's in her to make him again.
So this, I'm an emotional person, but I don't get attached to couples or relationships or things in TV shows or movies.
We know that if you listen to The Break Room, our superstore.
I'm very capable of separating, you know, fiction from reality and things. This kind of, when Vision had to say goodbye and you could see the hex coming closer, and you know it's going to end, and you know that he realizes he's going to end, I did get a little emotional, because it was one of those, like, I can only imagine what it's like to hold someone you love for the last time, you know, especially when you know it's going to be the last time. And that's like, that's what I took from it. Like, that's gotta be just incredibly difficult.
And not only is it going to be the last time, but you only have like minutes. Right, like you see it coming. The barrier.
Yeah, like there's coming. A countdown coming. Like, it's not like, you know, this person's gonna like go soon. Like, you see it coming. And so, and especially for Wanda, she's had to end his life once. Then she had to suffer from time being rewound and watching Thanos end his life. And now she finally gets some small chance of happiness, but she realizes she's torturing all these other people, so it's not fair to them. So it has to end again. And it was like, I did get a little choked up there, and I was like, man, this has got to really just suck.
Yeah, it's got to be... I can't imagine what Wanda has gone through in her lifetime, losing everybody and then having to lose Vision, not just in Infinity War, right, but then also she had to do it, and then she had to see it rewound, then she had to see Thanos do it, then she brings him back to life in this, and then she has to lose him again, and also almost get, you know, her skull crashed in by the real one, like, and she had to lose her kids. Like, this is just more and more and more and more on her. And
It's
brutal.
If she wasn't an Avenger and a hero, these are the kind of things that turn someone into a supervillain.
Right. So after that, the next day, I guess, she's, you know, she sees Monica.
Is it the next day or is it that day? Because, like, the house kind of crumbled.
Oh, you know what? Okay,
was,
yeah, yeah. So it's like, the night in the hex, but when the hex disappears, it's daytime outside of it. So it's the same day, but the hex was on a different time rotation. So, you know, she sees Monica and the townsfolk. The townsfolk are all kind of giving her the, you know, the eye. This is where Monica says that line you mentioned about they don't know what you gave up. And as soon as the sirens start coming, Wanda's like, all right, peace out. I'm getting out of here.
Well, but she also brings up, like, they'll never, they won't understand and it doesn't matter. It won't matter to them. And, you know, she's walking through the town and everybody's just staring at her, staring daggers at her, where, like, that can't have been a comfortable situation to walk through.
Definitely not, no.
But Monica brings up a good point, too. You know, while she's talking to her, she says, you know, what about you? You know, she believes Monica would hate her. And Monica is very sympathetic and is like, no, you know, I don't. If I had your power and I had the opportunity, she would have brought her mom back. And who here among us, if they had the opportunity to bring back someone they love, probably wouldn't take that chance?
Yeah, that's Monica lets her off kind of easy here. You know, I saw some people complain that Wanda doesn't go to jail at the end of this, which, I mean, one, she's just so overpowered, nobody would be able to stop her anyway. But
yeah,
two,
they're not going to be able to put her in jail. Let's be realistic about this.
Two, Monica is totally cool with her, right? So, and also she leaves before the cops can even get there. So who would have apprehended her other than Monica? So,
and remember, Monica from the get-go was kind of on her side, was trying to help her. So it's not like she got off easy. Like, one, this woman is, Wanda's suffering. She's going to continue to suffer every single day, knowing what she's done. But, you know, Monica was trying to help her the whole time, and it's just things finally worked out where she was able to get the help that she needed.
Right. This was, you know, Wanda takes off. We get the cool kind of scene of her flying away in all of her garb. And
I do like
Westview's,
her new costume.
Yes. And she's now the Scarlet Witch, so we can now call her that. We get the end credits. And there were two scenes this week.
Do we get what's his name being arrested before credits?
They showed that. We kind of covered it a bit. Hayward's getting... Oh, you know what? No, that is in the first end credit scene. Sorry.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, it is. So we get the end credits, we get the flashy credits, then we get where we're usually seeing the mid-credit scene, and we get, you know, Monica saying hi to Jimmy. Jimmy's kind of running the little task force there, I guess, for the FBI, and she's like, authority looks good on you. This might be a reference to Agents of Atlas, which is another comic team that is led by Jimmy Woo in the comics, so maybe they're building up to something like that. She asks where Darcy is, and he says, he asks where Darcy is, and she says something about, like, debriefing is, you know, boring or whatever. And she says, like, well, at least we have to thank her for that, and we see Hayward kind of getting carried away there by the FBI.
Do you think we'll see Darcy again?
I think at some point, yeah. I mean, look, I'm not going to rule out anything because I was actually surprised they brought her back at all for this. So I really like the way Marvel is bringing in some of these side characters. Like, when we're looking at Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which is going to be not even 2 weeks from now, they have, they brought Baron Zemo back from Civil War. They're bringing Sharon Carter from Civil War, bringing a lot of side characters from some of those other movies that you thought maybe their story was wrapped up, but isn't. So I'm really excited for all these shows to kind of have those, you know, little touches in them. I think Hawkeye is supposed to have somebody from the Black Widow movie in it. So we're going to be getting these threads of these characters, and they're able to bring back, you know, as long as they fit the story, right? Like, Darcy made sense in this one because of her profession, and
she fit in well with the people, too.
Yes, she fit very well in.
Like, she wasn't shoehorned in where they were just trying to fit this character. Like, she had chemistry. Her character and Kat Dennings had chemistry with the people there. So it fit and just made a lot of sense.
Yes, and it was great, too, because, like, this is what's great about the MCU is that you can just, once you're this big, right, with the 23 movies or whatever, and now the TV shows, and you have these established characters from somewhere else, you can bring them in and introduce them to a new audience. Like, for some people, this is probably their first introduction to Darcy if they never watched the first two Thor films, right?
Yeah, for me, it was.
Like you, right, yeah. Exactly. This is some people's first introduction to Jimmy Woo, like you, right? But it's like, it's almost like reading an actual comic book in the sense of, like, when you read comic books, which I do a lot now, you might see some of this where it's like, okay, well, this person is actually from this other comic book, and they're kind of like crossing over here. This is a little side character you might see every so often. But also it works if you never read any other ones. They kind of introduce them like, oh, this is this person, you know?
This and that's how this Jimmy show, Woo, FBI.
Yeah, this is how the show did it, right? The show was like, all right, here's Jimmy Woo. He's in the FBI. That's all you really need to know about him. Darcy, she's working with astrophysics or whatever, right? This is what she does. That's all you need to know. But if you're already a fan that's watched all of these, you're like, oh, it's Darcy. Oh, it's Jimmy. And, like, the next time they show up, you're going to be like, oh, look, it's, you know, Darcy and Jimmy again. And it's just, instead of it just being a new character, like another FBI agent, you can, the Marvel can be like, you know what, let's put Jimmy in here. That'll make the fans happy. But also, he's just a great character played by Randall Park, and it's going to make him shine even more. And we have plans to use him in this other thing. You know,
not only that, but especially with everything being digital, like I know they still make physical comic books, but with everything being digital now with comic books and these other stories, now people can start looking out. Oh, let me check on Jimmy Woo. And now they can, now maybe they'll go back and watch Ant-Man if they haven't seen it
right,
before.
Right.
Now maybe they'll go back and watch Thor to see more about Darcy, or they can go see what other comics she might have been in, and maybe that can kind of open up those other worlds of the comics for these characters to go check these things out.
Or maybe they'll finally check out Age of Ultron, like Disney Plus has been trying to get us to do after each episode. So we get an agent, you know, coming over to Monica in this end credit scene. It's like, hey, they want to see you in the theater, you know, because that's where you would want to meet.
Yeah, debriefings in the theater.
Yeah.
And it's big enough, you know, you're going to have a lot of people in there and there's going to be questions. That seems like a reasonable place to have a debriefing at.
And it's so empty in there. And Monica's kind of like, I don't understand what's going on. And we get the agent shifting into a Skrull from Captain Marvel. And they say, you know, like, a friend of your mother's sent me and they want to meet you. And she's like, where? And she points up to the ceiling, meaning like space, right? Like, you're going up space. And this is set up probably for Captain Marvel too.
And he brings up, they heard you've been grounded. So here's a question. Do you think it was Carol Danvers or do you think it's Nick Fury?
Oh, maybe Fury. Yeah. Or maybe another Skrull. I don't know.
Like, because I haven't seen it, but I guess I've heard that in, what is it, Far From Home? Fury's actually in space towards in the end in one of their end credit scenes.
He's in the space with the Skrulls up there. Yep.
So it could be maybe Fury is the one who wants to see her, or maybe it's Carol Danvers who wants to see her now all grown up and everything.
I feel like if it was Carol, she would have said Carol. I think like the friend of your, because you know she knows Carol.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it would have been it'd have to be either another Skrull or maybe Nick Fury. I think she met Nick Fury before in Captain Marvel, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
So, I mean, like...
Yeah, maybe she doesn't remember.
Yeah, but you think
with her being
in
S.W.O.R.D., she would have met him at some point, but... You never know. The second end credit scene is like on this beautiful Norway, Denmark type.
There was so many credits in this. Like I sat there waiting and waiting and waiting. And it's just, and look, I 100% am for the credits because all these people worked hard to get this product to us all around the world. So these people who made the Danish voice languages and German voice languages and all this other stuff. I am not taking anything away. They deserve to have that and to be able to see their name on screen. Like, that is a great thing. But, oh my God, there was so many credits.
Yeah, this time I just fast-forwarded. The first time I let him run, but this time I fast-forwarded to the scenes. But we get this, you know, beautiful countryside of, you know, somewhere in Scandinavia, it looks like, right? With the way that the cabin's built. And it's Wanda just kind of sitting on the porch drinking some coffee, enjoying the sights. But then inside we actually see actual Wanda is in reading the Darkhold, reading a spell book here, the Darkhold. And she
so is that the same Wanda? Is she astral projecting? Like, well,
yes, it's astral projection. Yeah. So, okay. Like, the Wanda that's sitting on the porch, I think, is the astral projection one of her, and the one reading the book is actual Wanda because she's in her getup. We hear Billy and Tommy calling for their mom, and we get like her looking. I don't know how to really describe it, but she kind of looks up and we kind of get it kind of zoomed into her eyes and then bam, that was it. So the Darkhold is a book with a bunch of powerful black magic spells, and its influence is so strong, according to the Marvel Wiki here, that all of those who read it are corrupted. So does this corrupt Wanda? Does this make her the villain of Doctor Strange 2? Does this, is she actually not just going to be able to be corrupted because she's the Scarlet Witch? Her hearing the boys' voices, does this mean there is a way to bring them back and make them real? That's what happened in the comics. So in the comics, I'm not 100% on how this worked, but in the comics, the boys were in like a hex type thing, you know, like where they were not really real and then later get brought into the reality through some sort of means. So maybe that's how they're going to do it here, is that she, you know, somehow finds a spell in the Darkhold that lets her bring them forward.
So I saw this, I heard the voices. What I would like to see, and I don't think we ever will, or maybe not now, I would like to see an independent Scarlet Witch movie.
That'd be great.
I know she's going to, which I don't even know how, maybe other than the book, this directly tied into Doctor Strange. I'm assuming it's just from the book, but it...
Yeah, everybody thought the multiverse stuff would be what led into it, but I do think it's the book because Agatha mentions in the book about how Wanda is stronger than the Sorcerer Supreme, which is Doctor Strange. The pose she is in when she's reading the book is how Doctor Strange sits when he's, you know, like doing the calculations in Infinity War and when he's reading the books in Doctor Strange. So I can definitely see that this is, and at the end of Doctor Strange, which I don't think you've seen, right?
Not yet, no.
There's a character that's like, I'm going to kill all the wizards and witches, right? So like that is something that maybe kicks in the motion. You know, they hear about this stuff with Wanda. They're trying to track down the Darkhold. They're trying to track down witches and wizards to, you know, no more magic users. And stuff like that. I could see it kind of being like that. I don't think it had anything to do with the multiverse here. You know, like a lot of people were thinking with Pietro and stuff that it was going to lead into that aspect of Doctor Strange, but it seems to be more on the magical side.
So I would either, with you saying that, I would like to see maybe Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch kind of go at it. That would be awesome. But like I said, more than anything, I would love to see a Scarlet Witch independent movie. I think Elizabeth Olsen has shown she can carry that. I think the fact that WandaVision is like the highest streaming thing in a long time has shown she's capable of carrying that, that people have an interest in her and her character. I think the fact that Catherine Hahn has been such a breakout star on this, that people all over the place are loving her and her character. I think this could be, and I mean, obviously they have plans going ahead years. So not only phase four, they probably have like phase five and six plans for somewhere down the road. But this would be something that should kickstart something like that. But that's why I'm behind my computer and not working at Marvel.
Well, any other thoughts here on WandaVision as a whole?
This was a great ride. I learned a lot from it about the history of the characters and various things. I did get emotional at the end, like I said, with Wanda and Vision. I tend to have a thing for redheads, so Elizabeth Olsen will forever have a piece of my heart from this. Like I said, I didn't realize how great of an actress Catherine Hahn was, and she really stole the show in this. And I know I said it before, but I'll say it again, and I hope it doesn't get ignored come award season next year. I hope it doesn't just get like the same stuff of special effects or costuming or editing or something. I hope the people who put not to say the other people didn't put work, but the actors and actresses of this get recognized for their work in this, because they did such a fantastic job.
Agreed. I really enjoyed the show. I can't wait to watch it fully, like over again, add it into my rewatch at some point.
And now knowing everything, can you go back and
yes.
Are these times you see Agatha, is she doing something else that you weren't noticing before that now you can look at and be like, oh, you know, stuff like that.
Right. I enjoyed it. My advice to people going into Falcon and Winter Soldier is, you know what? Just don't buy into your theories all that much. You know, like, just try to go for the ride. I really enjoyed just, you know, I did enjoy speculating with you, Casey, and I enjoyed talking this out, but I was never really attached to anything that I spouted on here. You know, because the only thing I think I'd say I was probably the most convinced was is that Agnes would become Agatha Harkness, but that seemed to have been kind of the general consensus anyway, and it made sense with her name, Agatha Harkness, Agnes, but I wouldn't have been really upset if that wasn't her either, you know, like it is what it is. I try to let the writers do what they need to do. I have the utmost faith in Marvel because of their streak. They've been, you know, so good at everything right now. So I'm looking forward to Falcon and the Winter Soldier in 2 weeks. I'll be back next week to probably cover the new Spider-Man movie title that dropped and stuff like that. So I'll still release an episode, you know, next week talking about some of the updates to the movie side of things. Before we get ready for Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So that's all. I've said my piece on WandaVision. It was a fantastic ride. I really got to know Wanda and Vision so much better that, you know, being able to spend so much time with them on a TV show, I can't wait to see these characters again sometime.
I knew all of my stuff was going to be way wrong. Like, I wasn't attached to it. I was hoping, but I just knew I was going to be horribly, horribly wrong. And you know, that's kind of the fun of some of these things is trying to guess and see where and speculate where things are going to go, and then coming to find out like, oh, that escalated quickly, and I had no clue about what they were capable of. So
definitely. So if you want to follow us on Twitter at To Infinity Saga, T-O Infinity Saga, facebook.com/InfinitySagaBeyond, or email us, marvelplusrecaps@gmail.com. Thank you again, Casey, for coming on and breaking down WandaVision. We'll have to get you on for one of the fall shows, either like Miss Marvel or Hawkeye. I'll let you choose which one you want to come on for if you're interested.
Thank you for having me on. Like I said, this would have been sitting in my queue, and I would have missed out on this show had you not invited me to come do this. It'd still be sitting there in my queue, in my list, and I'd probably be doing something else right now. And
you'd be playing your PlayStation right now.
Not only that, but like, I would have missed out. I wouldn't have been, like, yeah. Especially the winking Agatha meme that is out there right now. Have you seen this?
No, I don't think so.
So there's a meme going around of Agatha kind of winking with a smile on her face, and it's kind of
It
has some sarcastic putting it everywhere. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm only 5 minutes away, and you know, she's got the winking smile. You're still at your house, you know, getting dressed. Like, I would have been seeing this meme and been like, what the hell is this all about?
Yeah, and the internet moves fast on memes that by the time you would watch it and be posting it, they'd be like, oh, we're already moved on to the next thing.
Yeah, they'd be 8 memes ahead, and I'd finally just be getting the gist of like, oh, okay, I get it now. But yeah, like when I first started seeing that pop up, I laughed so hard because I was like, oh, here we go. This is the new one. But the people on the internet are so creative with it. I was just like, yeah, this works.
Yeah, I have so many shows in my queue that I've been saying I'm going to get to that I haven't. So maybe if I did a podcast about each one, I'd actually get through them all. But I don't have time for that. But yeah, so, you know, just anybody reach out to us here. We'll answer some fan stuff. If like I said, I have an episode that I'm going to be releasing next week. So if you have any of your overall thoughts on WandaVision, send them in. I can go over them then. But other than that, you know, have a great rest of your weekend, and we will, or at least I will, catch you all next week with the Spider-Man news and all the other catch-up stuff that we need to do while we were breaking down WandaVision. So I'll catch us all up on that, and we'll catch you next time.